Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Are you ready for the first Dane Brugler mock draft of the 2025 draft season here on your home of the Cowboys? You're about to get it. You are about to get it.
Give me
right
the business.
Now. You guys ready for this?
You kidding
okay,
me?
Okay, we got a two-rounder.
Woo!
So it's not just who the Cowboys take at 12. Titans take Cam Ward, Miami quarterback, with the first pick. Do you guys agree with that?
They haven't studied the quarterbacks yet, have they?
Just Shador. That's the only one I've seen.
Just avoiding the quarterbacks.
Yep.
Abdul Carter is gone with the second pick to the Browns. Makes sense.
Yeah, sure he reminds me very much of a current player here in the system we've seen with Jared Verse from Florida State that plays with the Rams. That type of player.
Carter more speed. And Garrett. Watch out, quarterbacks.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's a hell of a tandem. Yeah.
The Giants snag Travis Hunter at 3. That stinks. I don't care what side of the ball he's playing on. That you know, Giants are starting to put together some pretty good players. We'll see if they can get a quarterback, get it figured out. Would you be passing on the opportunity to get a QB, though, if you're the Giants there at 3?
I wonder what's going to happen in the second round on these quarterbacks with the top of the list there. You know, at the top of the round, they might wait. Might be a team that wants to jump back in there, too, with the Giants, something maybe at the back end. But, I think that – I don't know how you pass on Hunter there. I think the quarterbacks are so – iffy right now. I can see a bridge player being there.
Patriots at 4 obviously need a wide receiver, and they go with the guy who's electrifying but not fast, McMillan from Arizona.
I love Ted McMillan. 6'5", dude is massive, wide catch radius.
Smooth.
It's very smooth.
Powerful, too.
Really good route runner. I've seen comps to like Drake London. I watched him and I saw a less fast Mike Evans. I mean, the dude catches everything.
The Jags take maybe the best corner after Travis Hunter, Will Johnson, Michigan. Shador's gone at 6 to the Raiders. No surprise there. Mason Graham's off the board with the Jets. This is Dane Brugler's mock draft here. Mm-hmm. The Panthers, Jalen Walker, edge Georgia. The Saints taking the safety, Malachi Starks, Georgia. That's a player that I would have liked to see at 12. But he's off the board. So is Josh Simmons to the Bears. They got themselves a new tackle there, the Ohio State Buckeye, to help protect Caleb Williams there.
Best tackle in the draft.
It's a good pick.
The Niners taking the Missouri tackle guard, Membu, right ahead of you.
That's a reach on my half right there.
I haven't even studied him yet. This is a fresh name that's starting to be talked about here earlier in the draft than I anticipated.
Which leaves on the board for the Cowboys now a somewhat interesting collection of players. The LSU tackle guard, Will Campbell, that might be your pick. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ashton Gentry is out there. Shamar Stewart, the defensive lineman from A&M, is still on the board. So is Michael Williams, the edge from Georgia. But he has the Cowboys going with Luther Burden, the third wide receiver out of Missouri, saying the Cowboys have to find more answers in the passing game outside of CeeDee Lamb. Explosive threat, all three levels does his best work with the ball in his hands, becoming a running back after the catch. Would you like that pick? Do you think it's among the realistic possibilities, Brian, for the Cowboys?
I think it absolutely is a realistic possibility. I think you mentioned Bo Campbell. Banks was not mentioned, I don't think, in some of the picks.
Will Campbell's still there. Yeah. Kelvin Banks still there.
So you're looking at potentially a tackle or a guard. I think that Banks is a guard myself. That's how I view him. I'd be interested to see what the Cowboys do. We'll kind of dig that out. But, yeah, I don't think that you take Burden right there, and I think you'd be really, really happy. If any other thing would be one of those offensive linemen, I think I would take Banks over Campbell myself if I didn't have a chance at that wide receiver.
Igbuka still on the board there, obviously. Yeah. I know you like him a lot, Wolchuk.
I'd go Igbuka over Burden personally, but I understand the upside with Burden and the playmaking ability after the catch. Both of them are good yak guys. Burden can be special, though. I mean, he's got the speed, the start-stop quickness. He is special as a playmaker once you put the ball in his hands. A bigger version of Kevontae Turpin, in a sense.
Yeah, and Brugler calls him a running back after the catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and watching him play, I would absolutely love that. I think, though, I would be building more long-term, and I would be leaning offensive lineman unless all my scouts were telling me this guy is so much better. You know, we have a higher grade on him. We can't go for need here. And plus, wide receiver is a big need. If that's the best player on your board, you stand up and take him, and you get excited as a Cowboys fan.
You said, though, that Genty had not been picked, right?
Yeah, no, he went to Denver at 20.
Okay, see, this is where, and I'm just going to say this. And I understand where we are in team building and running backs and all these things. Yeah, it is an absolute deep draft for running backs, no question. I would be interested to see if we got to 12 that if Genty, I would think he would be their best player on their board. That's where I think. And if that's the case, then I wonder how usually you don't want to jump tags. Usually you don't want to, if you put a guy there, you put him where you would take him. And you don't want to window dress your board either, but I bet you when they get to 12, if he's there, he will probably be the best player on their board. If they take somebody else, my gut feeling is they jump to tag. Would be my guess.
The only indication we got is that they moved on from Pollard, and was it Gelkin who right before he left, he said the Cowboys have sort of change their view at running back, and I don't know if that was for 2024 or if that's going forward. Did they change the positional value and how they look at it?
Johnson from Iowa, Hampton from North Carolina, Henderson from Ohio State, Scataboo from Arizona State, Sampson from Tennessee, Harvey from Central Florida, Junkins from Ohio State, Neal from Kansas. It's a long list, and it goes to the fourth round. If they want to pass on a runner at one, There's quality runners in the second, third round, and Neil I have in the fourth.
DJ Giddens, Kansas State.
Dane did note at 20 when he put Genty with the Broncos, saying, should Genty fall this far? Of course not, but if Dallas decides to pass, there aren't many obvious landing spots for him.
There you go.
In the top 18.
Which is why if this scenario fell, you have two tackles that go right ahead of you with Simmons and Membu. Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State, Membu, the offensive tackle/guard from Mizzou. If I'm the Cowboys and I'm looking at how this is falling, I'm hoping a team wants to call up, jump the Dolphins maybe for a tackle. Maybe somebody wants Will Campbell. Maybe somebody wants Kelvin Banks Jr., and I want to slide on back because I got a list of guys that I'd be interested in. I've got them kind of all around that same clump range right now.
You're interested in liking Green, the edge from Marshall at that time?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're doing.
I would love me some Mike Green, who unfortunately goes to Washington, and that would be a nightmare to deal with for the foreseeable future if he ends up with Dan Quinn in Washington.
Okay, we jump down to the second round then, and Dane Brugler here at 44 for the Cowboys. You have Jahdae Barron on the board there. Wolchuk, I know you're a big fan. So is the Florida State cornerback Thomas. But Dane going with the runner at Ohio State, Travion Henderson, to the Cowboys at 44. Would that be something you guys would love?
Yeah, no, like? I have no problem with Henderson. That would just... but. I think if Johnson from Iowa or Hampton from North Carolina was there, but I don't know if those two have been gone.
Johnson went in the first round. Okay. He had two running backs in the first. He had Caleb Johnson off the board already.
I'd take Hampton over Henderson if it was me right now.
And I think Hampton went right before you to the Raiders at 37.
Okay, now the thing is open for Henderson, but I have a first round grade on Barron, the corner.
Same.
And I would take him over the running back at that point.
The scouting department has been good at finding defensive backs on day three. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how much you would look at that, but you know, if I don't get another offensive lineman in the first round, I feel like I really want to get him in the second round or at late the third round, because by the time we're on day three with offensive linemen, I mean, you're mostly talking about projects, aren't you? You know, and we, yes, we haven't looked at the defensive line, yeah, either. Is Osa gone? Do we have a you know, a pass rusher there?
Yeah, I have linebacker? Yeah, I have a third round three technique for you. Norman Lott. It's a hyphenated name from Tennessee that you need to take a look at. That would be pretty good there. Sanders from South Carolina would be in the mix as well as a three technique.
Yeah.
And then also Nolan from Ole Miss is another guy that I would look at.
Okay. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Salute to the GOAT, Dane Brugler there, the king of the media scouts anyway. And he's, you know, been producing this beast publication every year for years and has so many players in it for you, and we always look forward to his content. Okay, and that's obviously Brian's the godfather.
Oh, no,
of scouts.
No,
he's
no.
A former NFL scout.
Dane Brugler, I'm really surprised. He's done such a great job in his career of being. I'm surprised a team hadn't picked him up. I really am. I mean, but he loves doing the media. He loves doing the work. But, man, he would have been a really, really good scout for somebody if they would have given him the chance.
You guys want some under-the-radar head coach candidates? How about Broncos defensive coordinator Vance Joseph? Okay, this is our friend David Howman over there at Blogging the Boys put together this list for us. Ravens special teams coordinator Chris Horton. There's only one special team coordinator currently sitting as a head coach who came from that background, but that's John Harbaugh.
Yeah, we hired him at Philly.
As the special teams coordinator?
Yeah. Lombardi hired him. Lombardi found him and hired him for Philly, yeah.
He says, you know, you're just kind of tapping into the Ravens organizational greatness and, you know, being mentored from John Harbaugh and all that. Cardinals defensive coordinator Nick Rollis, youngest coordinator in the NFL at 31 years old, just finished his second season running the defense. Longtime confidant of Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon. But he's steeped in defensive schemes, and he's learned from both Zimmer and Vic Fangio, two of the most respected defensive minds out there. How about Browns running backs coach Deuce Staley? That would definitely be, you know, an outside type of candidate, and a former Eagle as well. You'd have to consider that.
I think that would be very much like hiring Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
I don't think that would go very well.
Lions offensive line coach Hank Fraley. I know that one would get Chief excited, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, as a head coach, I don't know. Obviously, that he might be in over his skis a little bit there. But in terms of, like, I would guess he is going to be the guy that replaces Ben Johnson as the play caller with the Lions if Ben Johnson leaves there. So,
or like, if they get Mark Brunell to stay at quarterback coach.
Mm.
Detroit.
Yeah, you know, if Detroit, yeah, then maybe Fraley goes with Ben Johnson. But I think Fraley's a beast when it comes to designing rushing attacks. There's no question.
How about the Brian Johnson angle? He's assistant head coach with Washington.
Did he get let go to Philly?
Oh, so that was the Philly guy. He's got a relationship with Dak, coached him at Mississippi State. I was very intrigued with Brian Johnson, but I don't know that he's quite ready for a head coaching job yet.
Yeah, Prescott has remained close with Johnson, especially since he arrived in the East. Landing Johnson would guarantee a strong head coach-quarterback relationship and one of the up-and-coming coaches in the NFL. Yeah, last time around, Johnson was a really hot name. Was that a couple of years ago or maybe after?
It was right before last year. They gave him the play-calling duties with the Eagles, and he was one and done. It just didn't go well.
Top 10 at 420 is coming up next. Zach, where are you taking it?
It's a special day. It's National Bagel Day. What are the top 10 bagel flavors in the U.S. of A? That's next in the nation.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Heading for a top 10 here at 420 with Woolchuck and so much more. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214-817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
All right, thank you very much. Happy National Bagel Day. I've got the top 10 most popular bagel flavors in the United States of America. What's your ideal bagel? What do you like on that thing? What kind of schmear? You putting any, like an egg salad, a tuna salad? You want some salmon and lox? Let me know how you're doing your bagels out there. 877-881-1053. There's a conversation going on, though, regarding Travis Kelce. And this time of year, I think it's important to remind people. It's the playoffs. And what does Travis Kelce do in the playoffs?
He cranks it up a couple of notches, Woolchuck, generally, and then he hoists a Lombardi.
Yeah, that's what he does. Like, I'm seeing some fat-shaming pics out there. You know, we're getting some photos where he's got a little bit of a belly.
A little bit.
Yes, yeah, a little bit.
The evidence is a little damning, but here's what they did, okay? Because my research confirms this is like the before and after picture. The before picture is like year two Travis Kelce.
Right. He's older now.
So he is older now.
He's not in peak physical form anymore.
And that's evident by the now photo. He's letting himself go a little bit. That doesn't mean he still can't catch passes and be clutch, you know, when it matters.
Exactly. And this is a guy
big man TDs
had the chance.
Maybe every Kelce TD moving forward can be considered a big man TD.
He can truffle shuffle it. I mean, this dude is an absolute stud. When you look amongst the best ever in postseason history, he's a stud. In the postseason, he's got 355 yards, 3 touchdowns, 32 catches. He's been a Lombardi machine. We know that. He's got the record for like most amount of receiving touchdowns. I mean, the guy's a freak of nature in the postseason. I expect this to continue. Patrick Mahomes is asked about Travis Kelce. He didn't get 1,000 yards this year. So people are looking at his stats and they're thinking, gosh, he's not even any good.
Because he's 1,000 pounds.
He's not even good. Here's Travis.
I think it meant a lot to the team that he put the team above himself in that moment. I mean, he obviously could have got 1,000 yards pretty quickly there, and all of us wanted him to get 1,000 yards, and he said that's not my goal. My goal is to win a Super Bowl, and I think guys took that, and they ran with it, and then obviously he stepped up his play and made a lot of big-time plays, and it worked out all for the best.
What did that mean to you?
I think, I mean, I still wanted him to get it, to be honest with you, but I think it inspired the team, and I think he kind of has that the heart of a champion, and I think that inspires everybody, and so when your leaders and your Hall of Fame guys are doing that, I mean, I think everybody knows that they got to put it all on the line.
70-plus receiving yards in 13 straight games. He's putting that on the line against the Texans on Saturday afternoon. Longest streak in NFL history. He's trying to make it 14. He's looking to get his 18th touchdown from Mahomes. The tandem has the most in history. They passed Brady and Gronk. Can they continue this? I'm expecting beast mode Travis Kelce. And if we don't get it, I'll be very sad.
Yeah, and the photo I think was from the Christmas game, right? It was like the last time we actually saw him.
And he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he could probably do some level of crash course. He had like basically 3 weeks to get playoff dialed, you know, from a gut standpoint.
Just go ahead and have some liquid cleanses.
There is the possibility this is a sign maybe at 35 he's starting to get older. Maybe he's not finding the discipline off the field to keep slim and trim. Maybe it's why he only had 3 touchdowns this year.
He's got to drink a lot of beer to get through those Taylor concerts.
I could imagine. Yes. You know, now his brother's retired. He's probably cracking all the coldies. So, you know, there might be a little bit of peer pressure there to party it up a little bit more. I don't expect Travis Kelce to play after this season based on that gut.
I would not be surprised if this is his last ride, but yeah. I think he's going to ride out.
But he proved last year he's playoff clutch. Yeah. He will elevate his game career, as the greats do.
Yeah, totally. I've always thought worrying about him in the regular season this year was like, guys, take a chill pill. Going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Wait till the playoffs. If he plays like crap on Saturday, we can have a serious conversation.
And 850 yards is still a really good tight end season.
Yeah.
Really dang good.
He was good. All right, top 10 bagels. We got a lot of good texts coming in. Blueberry with the honey almond schmear from the 817 is their favorite.
Ooh, I like that honey angle.
Bacon, egg, and cheese from my guy from the 469.
That's a winner.
Ideal bagel is the bagel bite. Yes, it counts from the another 469, and it does count. The bagel bite does count. It is
those are those tiny full bagels or just chunks of a bagel?
Mini bagels. Slices.
Pizza bagels.
Pizza bagels.
Oh, yeah. I do like the pizza bagel.
Cinnamon raisin with honey pecan spread.
Okay. Well, that's where I got to chime in here. I was just going to say, just nothing with raisins.
Okay.
Okay.
I do like the cinnamon raisin.
Raisins are good in a few environments, like on Raisin Bran. Good.
No. Gross.
Wrapped in chocolate. Good. Agreed. I don't know of any other situations.
I can't make Raisin Bran pretend to taste good for
me. Really good.
I don't know what it
is. You got to sprinkle it with sugar.
That the key?
You got to add a little bit more sugar.
At that point, you might as well just have the crunch berries. You know?
Yeah. Crunch snozzberries taste like snozzberries. The everything bagel, double toasted onion and chive schmear on one half, jalapeno salsa schmear on the other, unless there's bacon chive schmear for 214. This person knows their way around a bagel place.
The schmear expert right there.
We're schmearing.
The everything bagel is the best of the bagels.
I agree. I'm an everything bagel.
What is an
person.
Everything bagel?
Everything.
It is.
It's a mixture of the onion, the garlic.
It's all the sesame seeds.
There's what are the little black
chives or something? I don't know.
I've been trying so hard not to eat any carbs, but today I was driving to the Star and I stopped off at Einstein's and they had something I'd never seen before. They had a hash brown and cheese bagel.
Oh, yes.
Like the that's the whole contents of the
bagel. No, not in the innards.
It's the flavor
baked
bagel.
In the top. Hash browns and cheese baked in the top.
And then you put sausage or something in the
middle. You can put whatever you want in the middle of it.
Brisket.
Yeah.
Get two.
Or egg or whatever. No, I just had one. But I tell you what, man, it was really, really good. I didn't expect, because I was going in there just to get a blueberry one. And I saw that and I said, no, I got to try this.
See, I like the blueberry one with a lot of butter on it. You know, I do mine more as a treat, though, than a sandwich. It sounds like a lot of people with the chives and the onions garlics.
Yeah. Well, and you don't like cream cheese.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. I mean, what they're doing with the cream cheese game these days.
Oh, my God.
But it's unbelievable.
A ham and Swiss bagel with mustard, you know, that works. A French dip bagel, I'll do that. But butter and jelly, you know, just on a regular bagel.
It is divine.
You know, Woolchuck.
It is divine.
Cinnamon and sugar bagel.
Hey, I grew up, like, family functions. We're now planning, like, Eliza's first birthday, which has
like, she'll remember it.
It's a big one,
dude.
Make sure you spend a lot of money on it.
Pictures are important.
The only thing I'm really going to spend money on is the smash cake. That's what I'm here for. I want to see her smash that cake and get all the funny videos, and it's going to be fun. But the food-wise, it's like, what the hell are we even going to do? Because I agree with you, Brian. It's like, she's not going to tell us what her favorite food is. Yeah. She's drinking milk and baby puree foods.
My ex made me have I had a shrimp boil. I had to fork over a bunch. I had to buy a bunch of shrimp. And the funny thing about it was, I cooked so much of it but these people didn't eat it. Like they were just coming over to see
the baby and leave.
Yeah. And here I had this huge shrimp boil, spent about $300-$400 on it, and we didn't eat it. You know, I'm over there.
I threw out the bagels. I'm like, Jewish event, we do the bagels. You do the bagels and cream cheese, bagels and salmon, lox. I
mean, don't
do
people bring those over for
do
you?
Do whatever
though?
You want. No. Some people do. I'm trying to have it where we've got food for other people. I mean, maybe we do the little finger sandwiches, like a high tea, you know, little cucumber sandwiches. I don't know. We're going to do something. We'll figure it out. Lucius, the bagel talk. Let's get your opinions here, sir, please.
Somebody said it earlier. Nice, cheesy, eggy, and bacon bagel. You know what I mean? It's sloppy. Mm-hmm. So you have to watch every bite so it won't fall apart on you.
Yeah.
And then a regular bagel with a whole lot of cream cheese on that junk.
Yep.
Whole lot of it.
Like half a pound of
cream cheese. Yeah, just a whole layer on that thing.
Do you guys like going with a flavored cream cheese? Like every once in a while mix in a little strawberry cream cheese or something like that?
A little strawberry. I do think the chive is good. And now, I mean, you can just dip some of these, like chips. Get some chips and dip the cream cheese.
I was doing that. What was I doing that with?
You better have a pack of mints if you're eating some of these bagels you guys are talking about.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
With all the garlic and chives.
Go brush your teeth afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, you're walking
there. It's
like,
going to be stanky.
He brought us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be stanky. Cream cheese, chives, lox. Plain with peanut butter and dill pickles. You'll need to try it from the 682.
No, the bagels with lox at Sydney's deli is really, really
fantastic.
Good. It's excellent.
Grapes are fantastic.
Grapes on a bagel?
469. I don't know what was going on here.
Well, see,
something
that's
with like
saying,
a raisin. I'm sorry, I couldn't follow
that. What they're probably talking about, maybe they've got a tuna salad with grapes.
Okay.
Cut up in the tuna
and
salad
something
on,
about the grape.
On a bagel.
Yeah, tuna melt on a bagel.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Dominant.
That'd be good. Okay, here are the top flavored bagels in the U.S. of A. Honorable mentions here. We've got like plain bagel. You know, I think a lot of people like that. The wheat bagel goes in here in the honorable mentions. A French toast bagel. Yes, never please. Had.
Wow. Saw that today. That was next to
Did
the...
Did it look good?
Yeah, it absolutely looked
that
good.
That should How probably be in the top 10.
Yeah.
And the Asiago bagels, number 11.
That's all those mixed cheeses is what that is.
That looks very cheesy. Yeah.
So you're dipping the actual bagel in the egg custard and French toasting that, or are you putting a piece of French toast in between?
They're actually making the flavor. It's a regular bagel, but it's flavored like French toast. So you would put the French toast mix into the bagel batter and then make it up that way.
Sounds promising.
Have you ever had the rainbow bagel? Is that basically just a plain bagel that's colored with rainbow stuff? Yeah, yeah. So there's not like an actual flavor there that makes it special?
No.
Okay. Number 10 is the blueberry bagel.
Awesome.
Do you like the blueberry bagel as much as you love the blueberry donut?
No. I would say they're both awesome, but the blueberry donut stands above the rest by a large mile. I mean, it's like the cake donut. Yeah. You know, it's not even just like blueberry donut. It's a blueberry cake donut. There's something very, very special with sort of the density.
No, and you put me on that. I don't even like blueberry, but the blueberry donut is can't miss.
Me too. I'll so co-sign on that. I didn't think anything would ever beat a standard glazed donut.
Right.
That blueberry cake does it.
It really is good.
And you get the glaze factor
as
well.
There's consistency across donut shops with it.
Yeah.
You know, like
they've perfected
they almost have like a standardized recipe for this thing. You know what you're getting if you say blueberry cake. It's going to be a nine out of 10 at least, probably 10 out of 10 though.
Number 9 is the pumpernickel bagel.
What are we talking about there?
Never had a pumpernickel bagel.
Okay, you used a pumpernickel bagel for like when you start to do the meats and stuff and you're making sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you go with the corned beef and stuff like that.
They're saying like it pairs well with like a strong smoked lox, for instance, or
there
a pastrami. Crush that. Yeah. A multi-grain bagel at number 8. 7 is an egg bagel. That's big in New York,
it's
right?
It's got a yellow, more of a yellow tint.
Yeah,
to it.
It looks a little fluffier. Yeah,
a little fluffier. Yep, sure is.
6 is the poppy seed bagel.
That's another one you can put turkey on that with onions and.
Oh yeah, my dad was a big lover of that.
Tomatoes and stuff. It's really good.
5 is the onion bagel.
Okay.
4 is the chocolate chip bagel.
I was going to say that today in the window looked really, really good.
Oof, and you get they're melty a little bit.
It's a little melty. Yep.
3, we've got the cinnamon raisin. And I know you don't like that, Dawson. What if it was just a cinnamon bagel and we removed the raisin for you?
Yeah, I think that could work, you know, with a good butter, maybe some icing.
OMG Donuts in Arlington makes jalapeno cheddar bagels that are amazing.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Jalapeno cheddar
bagels. I've seen the Hatch chili bagels. Like, you know, they take the whole Hatch chilies and put them in the bagel. It's really, really good.
The pizza bagel's getting a lot of love here. Steak, egg, and cheese from McDonald's. Yeah, I've never had the McDonald's bagels. I know Bobby was really advocating hard for them.
You're making a pizza out of the bagel, putting it in the oven?
Yeah.
I think I like that. Yeah. We used to do those with English muffins a lot.
Yeah. So we've got a Shug's bagel, which is down the street from us.
That's fire.
And they do a pizza bagel. And it's supposed to be outstanding. I've never had it, but Shug's is really, really good. 2 is the garlic bagel. That's number 2 of the most popular bagels, and that's going to be bad breath for sure.
Like garlic bread, but in a bagel?
Yeah, essentially.
Yep.
Yeah. But number 1, most popular bagel in the U.S., say it with me now,
the everything bagel.
Yes, indeed. Mm. Absolutely delicious. I'm a big fan as a kid. I'm like, ew, that's gross. As an adult, I'm like, please,
it's kinda
put
like
that
eating,
everything bagel in my mouth.
It's kind of like eating brisket rub on a bagel there, Dawson.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I think you'd like it.
It's just seasoning. It's not actually putting all those things on there. It's the seasoning equivalent.
You're just putting all the stuff that you would put on a brisket.
You make a sandwich out of that, you're in good shape.
You can just buy the everything bagel seasoning now and put it on whatever you want. Yeah.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Will Chuck. Top 10 in the books. Let's hoop it up, Chief. What do you say?
Yes, we asked the question, is this the worst sports dad of the year next in the nation?
Thank you very much, Lucius. G-Back Nation, 105.3 The Fan. You're just less than an hour away now from LA Live with Lucius Alexander. Of course, the expressway and all that. Football's finest coming up here at 5 o'clock. But there's a lot going on in the association. And here's the chief to tell you more about it.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when the Mavs have an opportunity to lose back-to-back games to the Denver Nuggets. And they come through. On that command, 4 of 18 for Kyrie Irving. You get Derek Lively 4 minutes into the game. There's another ankle. I mean, this is just a snake-bitten team right now from an injury standpoint. I don't know if there's going to be any way to get out of this particular darkness, but it hurts. It sucks. Watching Gafford trying to defend a turning back the clock game for DeAndre Jordan. Just get Gafford in the pick and roll and watch folks dance on them and dunk on them. So huge bummer with the Mavericks right now. And as I see it, a lot of the important stats that you would look at since Luka went out of the lineup, you're talking about being bottom third in the league in basically every important metric. So it's tough sledding right now for the Mavs. Hopefully they can get some injury luck going their way. I guess what they said, the x-rays on the Lively ankle were negative, which is actually a positive.
Yep.
So, we'll just be on the lookout for his particular timeline, but don't expect to see Luka until probably after the All-Star break. Kyrie's got the back issue and, I mean, we're almost to the Pets heads falling off portion of the program.
Getting darn close.
Getting darn close. All right, now we'll pin the tail on the positive. How about this? Kevin Harland, Prime Video, Collision Course. This is exactly what we wanted and needed. TNT, of course, is going to be no longer the NBA rights holder like they are right now. You get a lot of ESPN and ABC and stuff, but obviously next year it's going to go to Prime Video, NBC, and Peacock. So they're putting their lineups together. Kevin Harlan is apparently going to be their number two man. If he's their number two man, who would be their number one? Do you know who number one is? I know who number one is.
Marv Albert in his prime. Have we cloned Marv Albert, bringing him back? I don't know who's better than Harlan.
Is it
Brent Musburger?
Which Eagle? Is it Ian or Noah?
It's one of the Eagles.
It's one of the Eagles.
Probably Ian.
Ian.
It's Ian.
Eagle's not better.
It's Ian for Prime. Now, he's also the voice for the Brooklyn Nets.
I
did not know that.
But yeah. Prime Video wants to get him as their number one NBA voice, and then Kevin Harlan as their number two.
So are we losing him from Westwood One Radio as well?
No, Kevin Harlan, he will still, from what I read, he will still be doing his NFL college basketball duties for CBS.
Okay.
And then Monday Night Football and the Super Bowl for Westwood One. So none of that gets messed with.
Nice.
We'll still get a Super Bowl edition TD Tuesday call from Kevin Harlan
nice.
For the Super Bowl.
And so then my other follow-up would be, is it possible we get Dirk working with Harlan?
Dirk?
Yeah.
I think Dirk's going to be doing studio more studio
stuff.
He'll be
the studio guy.
But you never know. I think they might have some hybrid roles for some of these former players. Maybe they're doing some games from time to time. Maybe they're doing some studio work. So I won't completely rule it out, but I think Dirk is headed for more studio stuff. You do.
Sorry if I threw you off there by pronouncing Dirk as DJ Flula does. Dirk.
There was a split second where I was like, wait, what did he just say? Now,
like Crosstalk last night?
We will relive Crosstalk at 6:20.
That was jarring.
That was
hilarious. I mean, I Tolo and I know their show name. That's what they're trying to get going. So I was just trying to help
I can't wait
out.
To hear it back. It felt like maybe somebody cut off the last sound that Wolchuk word was making. So I was like, what did I just hear?
It was a three-letter word that started with F and A. And that last letter could have gone any direction. It was scary for a second. And we will address it. I have a theory on what happened.
Okay.
I do.
Okay,
good. And I feel...
Because I was in it.
I feel
really confused.
Exactly. And yeah. I had to dip over into the production studio, but I was listening as I was pulling some stuff, and I hear it in real time, and I was just very, very thankful for the moment because I thought it was fantastic. And I don't know I don't know if the evidence when we played at 6:20, if it's more damning for Wolchuk or for the take that Fred was sort of in the midst of. Because it was a special, special.
I often wonder the same
sports
thing.
Sports take.
I'm not accepting any guilt here. I said fatty.
You didn't say fatty. And we'll address it at 6:20.
The fatties.
The other Eagle, Noah, the son, is going to be doing some Peacock stuff. And Mike Tirico. So those are going to be the NBA voices for Peacock, NBC.
That's
and
nice.
We'll see.
Hardest worker, Kevin Harlan or Mike Tirico?
I'm going to
Kirk Herbstreit.
Over both.
Herbstreit's flying all over the place,
Herbie
man.
Is.
I'll tell you what, Herbie is.
I mean, yeah. Herbie called Ohio State, Texas, and the next day is doing the NFL game with Al Michaels. That is unreal.
Everywhere All at Once. What was that movie? It was about him,
but
right? It was his biography.
Everywhere All at Once.
It was the
Kirk
Herbstreit.
He's got those jets that gets him around.
It was about
Herbie.
But no, seriously, hardest worker, Kevin Harlan or Mike Tirico?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think it is Kirk Herbstreit.
I'm just
messing with you. I think it is. I mean, Harlan does everything. Harlan can be going. I think the thing with Harlan is
he's
going.
You watch Mike Tirico do the Indy 500 and the next day do outdoor hockey.
I just think the calendar lightens up for him a little bit.
I just
how, like during the football
that's
season, he's
bad,
calling one
one's in May and one's hockey's not in May. But you understand what I'm saying.
But like Tirico is calling one game a week during the football season. So for half the year, he's got one thing to do.
Yeah, but then he goes and does golf, and then he does like he does Olympics, and he does. I mean, he's
Harlan's juggling an NFL game on TV, then an NFL game on radio, then a college basketball game on TV, all at the same time. That's like 3 days in a row. Yeah. I just think his are all like he doesn't have an off season. No, when's Harlan's off season?
No, Harlan's crazy.
Adam Silver on players taking too many threes. We're on it as stewards of the game. We'll tweak it. We will correct those issues. Okay. So what does that mean?
He's in college.
Three-point line's now 45 feet from the basket.
Yeah, you're going to have to put a little more distance on that thing.
Ooh. We're adding a four-point line. We fixed it, guys.
Keeping the same three.
If, now we're shooting fours. If you take a three, you're allowed to get fouled.
So we'll see what exactly that means.
Like a month ago, they said they were looking into it. So maybe they found some stuff and came up with some interesting ideas.
Okay, I'm going to have Carter Freeman throw something up on the fan cam for us, Twitch and YouTube. Get there. It's a heartwarming photo. Look at this awesome photo. This is the best jersey swap I've ever seen. And you know I'm sort of anti-jersey swap. Like, come on. We're competing. We're battling. Let's not have a Broadus and play-by-play voice of the Eagles moment where it's just who can make out harder with the other guy after the game. All right. Let's keep
Let's
keep the
separation.
I'm
just in such
here.
A bad mood when I lose. I wouldn't want to go up to some guy and be like, hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah,
you know, I guess after so many years and so many games being pros, they get used to it.
Just damn you for being a competitor, you know?
Mike said it earlier. He feels like, you know, in the NBA, they're telling you we don't really care about the regular season. You know, maybe it's just all about the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that real competitive blood doesn't start pumping until you get to April.
You need games with stakes. You need games with stakes.
They tried the play-in tournament, the mid-season tournament, right?
It's a joke. It's a fart in the wind.
I tried.
Stinky one.
Okay, so what you're seeing now on the fan cam is the most adorable jersey swap you've ever seen. This is a game from a few weeks ago in San Antonio when the Spurs were wearing their City Edition uniforms. So kind of an alternate, fun jersey. They actually got a really nice alternate uni.
They do.
The Spurs do. And there was a young child in the stands, a young boy with his dad, and they were actually holding up a sign. Now, the boy is wearing a five-year-old size Spurs Wemby jersey, and the dad is holding a sign that says, like, something like, let's do a jersey swap. They were sitting pretty close, and they're like, the sign says, like, they were calling for a jersey swap between the young Wemby fan and the real Wemby. And so Wemby, kind-hearted guy that he is, he grants the jersey swap wish. This is the highlight of this kid's life. It is all downhill from here from a sports fandom standpoint, right? But it's still an unbelievable moment. And then we find out just a mere 2 weeks later, the jersey from December 27th, 2024, jersey swap with young fan after game, Victor Wembanyama, game used. Photo matched San Antonio Spurs edition jersey, team high 19 points, oh, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 blocks. They are putting it up for auction.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Maybe they need the money.
This sports. Okay, maybe they need the money. We have to leave some
pay for the seats
window of opportunity that maybe this guy does
just
have
maybe,
good intentions.
But
we do have to do that, Walt.
He donating the money?
But from the evidence that we have here, this feels like early nominee for Bleep Hole Sports Dad of the Year.
It does.
I mean, that's the moment.
So use the kid to get the jersey, right?
Yes, because exactly. It wasn't even like it was an organic thing that you weren't expecting to happen. Wemby points the kid out. You were calling for this. This was your entire plan. You went to the game and you set your son up to have an awesome moment, but now you were just going for the bag, Dad.
I think this is why players like refuse autographs and pictures quite often is
no
because they feel like they're just being constantly preyed upon by these losers who, you know, don't have anything better to do than figure out ways to get. Now, obviously, if you're sitting courtside, you can't be that much of a loser. You got something going on.
That was going to be my rebuttal to Wolchuk
there.
Fair. Like if they don't have money, but you never know.
Maybe they were given the tickets.
Maybe.
I just don't. You never know what somebody's dealing with.
Yeah.
But yes, unless they like really needed the money and there's like a good reason for this, this is absolutely a
$10,000 is just a lot of money, though, you know, and it doesn't matter how comfortable you might be, you know, I think the majority of people, especially in this economy, you start, you appreciate the jersey, then you look at the jersey, you're like, man, this jersey can sit in here for 3 decades and do our family actually no good other than the memory. We have pictures of the memory. We know what that was like. We will always cherish that moment. We need $10,000. That's like 5 mortgage payments, guys.
Wemby, quote, tweeted the announcement that this jersey was now up for auction just with some crying emoji face.
Yeah, I bet he's upset.
So he's a little bit bummed by it. I do get what you, but maybe let it simmer a little bit. Do you want to let it simmer?
It's just yes. So
do you want to blink your, you want to so just snap quick. Your fingers and put it online within a couple of weeks? Or do you want to maybe a few years later, now it's like, okay, let's get something for this.
That's a ballsy move.
Follow up interview with the Sun. How's the Sun feeling about this?
Because that's the immediate like icebreaker when you got company over. That's the first place you're taking them, dude. Yeah. Like, don't worry about anything else about what I got going on. I know I got that beautiful deck out there. You want to see it, right?
Yeah.
But it's all about best the man cave where that Wembanyama jersey is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. It's a great story. I mean, I'm sure the kid is not going to appreciate it when he turns 13, 14. Wemby's probably got 4 titles, and he's like, hey, remember that jersey we had, Dad?
Yeah, remember
you
know, that,
you gave away. Where'd that money go?
I thought you were going to do the jersey swap. Did you see the Roger Rosengarten for the tackle from the Ravens?
Oh, with Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett.
Oh, that was a great moment as well.
Like, I was thinking about putting that in the rim sesh. I'm just busting your balls.
I know you are, but
that was a good clip. I thought it was a little cheesy though. Myles Garrett.
Did you see it by any chance? Mm-hmm. Rosengarten, the tackle, asks Myles Garrett for his jersey, and he says, "Man, I'm a nobody. Could I have?" You know, and he goes, "Man, you play in the NFL. You're somebody. I got you, man." So yeah, it was pretty
supportive.
Cool. It was very supportive.
Yeah, those are cool, and a lot of those players do that on the field just because they're not going to see the guy again. Yeah. I mean, after you go into your deal and there's a whirlwind, and after the locker room, you know, the team's going the separate ways. They're going to be on a jet in 2 hours. All righty, thank you, Chief. We got football's finest coming up next. Where are you taking us?
All the reasons why Kellen Moore is not the answer.